You're listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast, bringing you the best of geek from week to week. Join your hosts, Dion and Quinny, and the occasional special guest as they talk movies, TV, gaming, toys, comics, and everything in between.
In the beginning of what seems to be a global event.
As we are hearing, this is happening in a number of locations all over the world. Unofficial observations seem to be pointing in the same direction, that individuals from the past appear...
Rättsteknikerna verkar överbevisade om att dödsorsaken är kvälning.
Och det är med stolthet att idag kan presentera vår första ansatte med flera temporal bakgrund.
Vad om vi teamar upp där, Lars, med vårt nya tillskott?
Possibly the hardest time signature of all, which is not 4-4, not 4-3, but 16-27. Happy birthday to you.
Yep.
Well, what are we supposed to say?
So it felt like.
Why was he born so beautiful? Why was he born at all?
The Quinny National Anthem that we came up with on the weekend.
Yeah. In history stage, let every page advance the birthday queue.
Can we please advance Quinny's hair?
Sure, we tried that.
I wasn't even prepared for that.
Advance hair. Yeah, all right.
Hey.
Hello.
Hi. Thank you. Thank you for beautiful, happy singing birthday times. You are all lovely. Yes. You are the most beautiful people that I know. And I mean that, saying that to everybody in the chat and to everybody in this room.
Very special evening. What do we do? Because I don't even really know what we're doing. It's your bonanza. It's your choice. It's dealer's choice, Quinny. What are you doing?
That's a dangerous question when you go to me on a day that I've had, you know, being a birthday, you know, accosted in my office, brought people brought me a donut just for no good reasons. They're like, happy birthday, donut. And I'm like, cool, sweet. I haven't really thought about this. We talked about it. We said, what are we going to do?
So on this like day of your 75th birthday, from the donut, what did you get? A sponge bath from the nurse?
Jesus.
There was you know what? I've had more discussions about sponge baths today than I've had in any other day of my life.
Perfect.
But I also got to see Dion completely embarrass himself by suggesting that I was in fact in my line manager today. So it was a beautiful moment where he said, "Look, you keep going in your line manager," and I was like, "My what?"
It's fine.
I was in a meeting. It was a beautiful moment of Dion just really fucking up his words, and I appreciated that a lot. So what are we talking about today? My choice for today was something that, it was suggested by one of our regulars and who's in the chat right now. So everybody wave and say hi to Elska Norga.
Good for an audio medium, that one.
Yeah. It was a beautiful, deathly silent wave.
Yes, I know.
You get what you asked for, Quinny.
I said, say hi. His suggestion, quite, and Peter's gone. She's out.
No, yeah, she's done. She's like, nope.
She's back. Was a suggestion that I was kind of quite a little bit resistant about to begin with, just because I was like, it's Norwegian. Who wants to watch a Norwegian show?
Is that anti-racist?
Yeah, I don't
like,
know.
I'm not sure about that. It's like, oh, Norway. Oof.
Yeah.
No, I don't want to see anything.
No, I wasn't actually, look, I'll be honest, I wasn't that resistant. I just had that thing of going, oh, I'll get around to that. And then I did, and it's quite good. So I decided that we should talk about it. But also, what the point of tonight is that it's my birthday. And now you all know that. That's very important. But what I would like from everybody in the chat and everybody in the room, if you've got the mental headspace, is that I want presents, lots of presents. But those... No? Dion, you look slightly concerned by...
I mean, like, do you need the traditional ones where I go and buy some, or can I just knock off my neighbors and give you their stuff?
No. Okay, I'll let you all off the hook on this one. I don't want actual physical presence at all, because your presence here is presence enough for me. What I want is recommendations. I want to know cool shit that I should go and watch or read or engage with or listen to or play. So whether that be toys or whether that be games or whether that be movies. So I want everybody in that chat, and I point over there because I don't know where the chat actually is in comparison to me. Where am I?
Your left shoulder.
Other Quinny. Side.
Okay.
Your chat left. Over there. Yeah.
Through Jill's
over
head.
Over there. Yeah, which is currently populated by a lot of Quinnies. You've said like, oh, I'll just point. I'm like, there's more than one Quinny on the screen right now, mate. It's like,
so yes, we are surrounded by the Quinn. Jesus Christ! Sorry, yes. I just opened up a tiny window and went
to have a look. There's the Highlander Quinny. There's the James Bond Quinny. There's the Quinny that didn't quite get the audition for Jurassic World.
And then there's the Quinny that is sandwiched between Daredevil and Karen Page.
Sure. Absolutely.
Which, you know, I'm totally fine with this. I'm
jealous of.
And yeah, there's also a Quinny playing the Invisible Man in an off-Broadway production.
off-Broadway.
So far off-Broadway that they may never find a Broadway again.
Oh, dear. Well, let me have some fun. Usually I put stuff up, but it was like Quinny's choice. And I'm like, I could put up all these pictures from the things we're talking about or just Quinny.
Yep. Just so much. Yes, it's Quinny in the Multiverse of Madness.
Now, dear viewers, we always give Quinny recommendations. He may or may not choose to do anything with them. But please, do send them in.
Yeah. So, okay, I like Rob's recommendation. First recommendation of the night, the one off the top of the pile is go to a JB Hi-Fi, and then they're developing quite a toy section in their shops, and they're getting many exclusive Transformers, including the Golden Disc Pterosaur. So Quick Show is a good show. The Foreigners, you should probably go and watch it. And Dion, do you want to tell them about Top Gun? I'll see you later.
Absolutely. Let's continue that. Glad you brought that up, Rob, because I actually did have a conversation with Quinny about Transformers today. Yes. Which was weird. It's like, oh, you should buy Transformers. Like, I was just talking to Quinny about buying Transformers today. What the fuck is going on?
And this is a thing that I didn't realize about you, Dion, is that your knowledge of Transformers is in some ways more encyclopedic than mine.
What? No.
Yes, dude. You were talking about comics that I've never fucking read.
Oh, right. That's because I'm a big fan of the UK Transformer comics. Anyway, I can tell that Jill and Peter are absolutely dying inside right now, and we are here to talk about the Foreigners.
We are.
Not obscure UK Transformer comics.
I don't know. We might get to that later.
What's the other reason why we're talking about the Foreigners?
Well, because today is Constitution Day of Norway, which I think is very exciting that I share a day with Constitution Day of Norway. Mm. I assume that I don't actually know much about it, but I'm assuming it's a bit like, Australia Day or... with probably significantly less racism, just out of guess.
I mean, you never know.
Well, maybe I should look it up.
There's probably always more racism than you think there's going to be, just as a general rule.
So it is Norway's National Day. Right. So the first public address was held in 1833 by a Norwegian poet, and then on 17th of May has been celebrated as Norway's National Day. So it seemed like an appropriate day that we get all Norska and, discuss the Foreigners. But also, as Amy in the chat, has said, today is Ida Hobbit Day.
Yay.
Which does that mean?
Which one, help Frodo or Bilbo?
Neither. It's Merry.
Yes. I've always been more of a Peregrine Took kind of guy.
A Pippin or Merry or Mippin or Perry?
I'll have a Perry cider, thank you. No, so Ida Hobbit Day is International Day Against Homophobia and Oh, help me out. Sorry.
Homophobia, biphobia, and transphobia.
Thank you.
And intersexism.
Intersex. Okay, that's what the I is for. Thank you. Because yeah, I was with most of it, and then I was like, shit, I can't remember what the I is for. So my apologies. But it is a very, very important day. And I think actually one of the things that, sorry, just to derail ever so slightly, actually, fuck it, it's my show. Yeah. It's my birthday. I can derail if I want.
Yeah.
There is a wonderful show, and I will get to Beforeigners. We will talk about Beforeigners. But there is a wonderful show that is on Netflix at the moment, and you can all go and watch it, and it is fucking delightful. It is a delightful, sweet, gorgeous baby, and I will cut any motherfucker who says a bad thing about it.
Oh, wow.
So threatening violence against the audience. Okay, right. Go for it, Courtney.
Yeah, no. hey, look, if they don't like it, that's fine. I will fight them out in the backyard. It is called Heartstoppers. And it is just gorgeous. And have any of you seen it or seen the trailer or anything like that?
I am yet to watch it, but it is on the list.
Right. So it is. So it's based on a comic, a very small press indie comic that is just beautiful in its art style and everything. But the thing about it is one of those beautiful gay stories that is all about a young boy who has come out and is trying to work out where he is in his school. And the nice thing about it is there's nothing particularly, you know how a lot of stories are about gay people being oppressed or repressed by the world around them. And one of the things that I love the most about Schitt's Creek is that there wasn't a negative. It wasn't shown as being a negative. That's kind of what this is, but it's two kids at high school, and it is the most shamelessly, gorgeously romantic thing I have watched in years, and I want you all to go out and please watch it. There's the two lead boys who are both about 15, and they're just, you know, delightful and sweet, and you can't help but kind of fall in love with them. And then there's their little circle of friends, and one of the circle of friends is a trans girl who was at a British private boys school, and she's moved to the nearby girls school, and it's just about their lives, but nothing particularly terrible happens to them, and it's just gorgeous. So
that's good. We need more stories without antagonism.
Yeah. Like, I mean, there are moments where things are a bit tough and there's uncertainty as to whether or not the relationship's going to work or whatever, but you can't help but just sit there and go, I want everybody to be happy.
Queer people deserve normal queer stories without it always having to be about something, you know?
Yeah,
like, sure.
Because everybody else gets that. We just, queer people deserve that.
And if you want the kind of added drama, just go watch Euphoria. Yeah, if you're like,
you know, I have actually been trying to get you guys to watch that. And
oh, Peter, I tried.
So please explain to me why I should watch Euphoria.
It's too Gen Z for me.
No, but I thought it was going to be just like Gen Z Skins, and it is. It's not. It cuts heaps deeper than that. And Zendaya is sensational, and particularly season two is just so beautifully shot. It really kind of tickles the inner film student in me, and I think it is worth it even just for Zendaya's performance and that. But there are actually incredible performances from all of the young people in it. And if you can look past some of the soapier storylines, it's heavy stuff, but particularly like the specials they did during season one and season two are really, really, really great pieces of television writing and television production and performance. And like, I don't think that we should overlook it just because it seems like a Gen Z Skins.
Okay.
I'm not saying it seems like it. I have watched like one or two episodes and I just could not get past it.
Okay. So where would I find Euphoria?
It's on Foxtel. It's a HBO show.
It's in the bottle of an oxycodone. Bill Quinney. It's in a bottle of oxycodone. That's where you find it.
Just some weed. Have enough weed and it'll be fine.
Look, I'm not saying it's the best show on television. I'm just saying that there are things about it that are worth checking out.
Right. Okay, there is a bit of chatter in the chat asking, is Heartstopper like Sex Education? It's like Sex Education with all of the sharp edges cut off, where, you know, the relationships between people are generally very healthy and lovely and sweet, and it's super queer and super accepting, and it's just fucking delightful.
Sounds great.
I'm not sure which one I love more. You know, Sex Education has that, you know, that really wicked sense of humor about it. This, I don't think, particularly has a real sense of humor. It's just a romance. It's an unashamed young kid, like teenage romance that just happens to be about two young boys. And it's lovely.
Fair enough.
And okay, you can say that it sounds lame, that's fine. But until you've seen it, just give it a moment. Okay, so sorry. The reason I brought that up is because one of the lead characters in it, who's the trans girl, has just been cast in Doctor Who. So we've got our Shooty from Doctor Who, from Sex Education, and now the trans actress who's playing inexplicably Rose Tyler.
Yes, I'm so looking forward to seeing how that works.
I am fucking on tender hooks to work out what the fuck is going on with this upcoming series of Doctor Who.
Yes.
Really?
I mean, that's kind David of Tennant and Catherine Tate back again.
That's okay.
Sorry, did you not know that, Jill?
No.
I hadn't heard that. Wait,
I know, but what? It's kind of like, it's the first time in probably 5 or 6 years people are like, oh my God, the new Doctor Who sounds great.
Wait, David Tennant as in like clone doctor version?
I don't know. Not sure. But David Tennant is back currently filming the 60th anniversary special.
Oh, okay.
With Catherine Tate. But also, yeah, and now the chat's going, what?
What? Oh, should I put the spoiler logo up? Jesus.
Sorry. It was literally announced 2 days ago, I think.
Oh.
And I think they had to announce it 2 days ago because they've started filming outdoor scenes.
Ah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's an awful lot of footage now rolling around of David Tennant getting around in his lovely suit. And
so what does Doctor Who have to do with the foreigners?
Fuck all, but I don't care.
We'll get there. It's Quinny's day.
Yes.
Yes.
So I'm just talking about Quinny's the things day. That I'm excited about. Look at me. I've gone flappy.
Quinny's day. And we're not even going to talk about Our Flag Means Death yet.
Though we can. Yeah.
Well, it's up to you, Quinny. It's your bonanza. We're just here to facilitate whatever you need.
No, because that'd be boring as fuck. And I think I can imagine both Jill and Peter going, kill me now.
What?
Hey,
why?
No.
Why?
No, I like Our Flag Means Death.
Yeah, same.
I haven't finished it yet, but I like
Critic Kangaroo is now calling this Rambling with Quinny.
Rambling with Quinny. Rambling, rimble on the rumble, shall we?
And yes, and no, it isn't therapy. It's just a good time. So I was about to say Our Flag Means Death. No, The Foreigners.
Yes.
What is The Foreigners about? Shall I look it up? Shall I tell you the? I literally just have this. There it is.
Yeah, it's about time for a synopsis, I think.
Yeah, we're only nearly like 30 minutes in.
Sure.
Dion, do you have music?
There we go.
HBO Nordic's first original series from Norway, The Foreigners, is about two people who mysteriously appear in Oslo. They are the first of many from the past to seek refuge in present time. 7 years later, the community is transformed. That's a really shit synopsis.
A little bit.
Okay. Really doesn't give you kind of the thread of what's going on in this one. Okay, after a few years, when people in the past inexplicably start appearing in the ocean, Alfa Hilda, who comes from the Viking Age, is teamed up with a burned-out Oslo police officer, Lars, as part of the police department's integration program, While investigating the murder of a woman with Stone Age tattoos, Lars and Alfhilder make some chilling, unexpected discoveries. That's a little better.
Yeah, that is a bit much better.
Yes, yeah, so I will also agree with Amy. Is like astounding accent restraint. like, I mean, if there was a show,
one accent that Quinny would not attempt, Norwegian, very difficult.
Elskenorger is saying something about Velding ma bra min ven, which I'm assuming means don't fucking try it. Elstra, who is a very old friend of mine who I've known for many, many years, suggested this one. And what did you think of it? Those of you that have watched a couple of episodes of it.
Well, I'd defer to Peter. She's watched all two seasons.
I know. I'm actually, you've beaten me, Pete.
I dived headfirst into this, watched the whole season, got pissed off that there wasn't another season straight away. But luckily I came at it late enough that I only had to wait a few weeks. And now I've also finished the second season.
Right. Amazing. Okay.
So good?
Yeah.
Or just...
I mean, it's not like it's not something... I don't love, like, solve the murder cop shows, generally.
The procedural is pretty fucking formulaic.
Yeah, I'm not like a, you know, kind of Nordic noir-y kind of person. Like, it's just all a little bit serious.
You like a bit of Scandi noir or you're not a Scandi noir?
Not like into any of the noirs as like, you know, as my light daily entertainment that I like to enjoy. Like, I'm only kind of like into a noir if there's a mood. And then I'll take a brief noir and I kind of like to move on. So it's not the kind of thing that I would like, but the light sci-fi twist on it makes it really interesting. And the not so light statements that makes about, you know, refugees and how we cope with that as a society, and this would be particularly relevant in Europe, and how that kind of interacts with what would otherwise be a fairly standard solve the murder cop show. It's really interesting.
And it's interesting because it is like the most by the numbers kind of two problematic people thrown together and forced to work together against their better judgment. And, you know, he's a cop on the edge, she's a Viking woman, together they're foreigners, that, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it could have gone a different way. Yes,
it could so easily be exactly what, you know, that really typical kind of thing, but it does a really good job of not being typical all the way through. And as you say, Pete, I think what you make a really good point about it. The sci-fi stuff keeps it from descending into just the typical sort of shit.
Look, honestly, I haven't watched it, and I apologize for not doing the homework. I had to go and see Homoerotic Masterpiece 2. we'll get to that. But I really want to see one of these shows just where one of the supporting characters, maybe a couple of the supporting characters, are just some very, very fucking excited archaeologists and sociologists who are like, oh my God, you are from the past. Please, this is what we think. Like, you know, were you using these beads for trade or what? And just constantly barraging them with questions to find out whether or not they had it right. Or like, oh my God, how did you make these things? Like, I mean, that would be the honest thing, because like a lot of the scientific community would just be beside themselves with joy about all of this shit.
That would have happened in like year one of Beforeigners.
Right.
There would have been a whole bunch of that, of like people going, oh my God, you can teach us so much. And we're in year seven or year eight.
And they now just keep coming.
Yes.
And not only do they just keep coming, like it's not like it's like a one-way portal to a particular time. It's like a random portal to any time in the past. So you have
sort of, but there are three distinct time zones that they come from. So you'll get people who are from the Viking Age, people who are from the Stone Age, and people from the, what, 1800s or thereabouts?
Yeah. So there's a lot of cultural mishmash in this new world.
Yeah.
So the Vikings the Vikings start coming and they don't stop coming?
They come out of the water and they hit the ground running. So much to do, so much to say. So what's wrong with that? Anyway.
Hey now. You're a foreigner.
You're a foreigner.
Put some clothes on.
Go play.
You can stay.
Love that Jill's just like, I'm out of this. I'm not having a bar of this bullshit.
Yeah, look, I mean, it sounds like an interesting concept, and I do apologize for not actually having done the homework. I do, but sell me on why I should watch it. Like, okay. Why should I put this above other stuff that is currently on my pile of shame?
Jill, you look like you had
I wouldn't move it up, Dion. I mean, I've watched two episodes so far. I do enjoy it. I think it's a different take on a police procedural because the story premise is just so weird and so out there, you know, like these worlds colliding sort of thing, and there's nothing anybody can do about it because it's just happening and you've got to deal with it. So it's fascinating story premise, and the mystery that's established in the start of the first season is like, you know, pretty decent. It's intriguing. The only thing is you have to put everything down and read subtitles.
Subtitles really makes you pay attention.
Yeah. And the good thing the thing I enjoy the most about binging TV series is being able to do other stuff while I'm doing it. And so if you're going to dedicate time to watching Beforeigners, you can't do anything else.
Yeah. I made that mistake once or twice where I was like, I'd sit down on the couch and I was like, I'll pick up my phone. I was like, oh, hang on, I can't do that. Fuck.
I mean, it's great, but it's not exactly mind blowing. So, you know, if you've got nothing else to do, maybe give it a crack. But if you have pressing stuff to watch, maybe watch that first.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to do like a thing every so often where I actually watch a show and I watch the show, and then when it finishes, I turn it off and I don't watch any more of it. And then the next day I watch some more of it. It's kind of like mindful television consumption these days, because it is so unusual to be watching a show without anything else going on. And I think there's kind of maybe something nice about having one in the back pocket that you can slate for, you know, today I'm going to watch one episode of this, and I'm going to watch it and have that moment with it, and then, you know, turn off the television and move on from it. It's almost like being in the 90s. Time travel for everyone.
Is it like in between shows you think about products you want to buy, maybe do some shopping?
Absolutely.
Well, I mean, it's on SBS, so there are apps. Oh. Yes.
Yeah. That is one of the great benefits of this as well, that like it is easily available to everybody here in Australia, that you can go and watch season one and season two of this right now on SBS free, with no extra hassles or anything. And
just the occasional SBS does Palmer great United fucking Party subtitles. Ad.
Sorry?
Just the occasional Palmer United Party ad.
Yes, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I tell you what, they're the perfect length for a commute to work, though. So,
hey,
yeah. I watched one this morning and one on the way home. So,
yeah, I do love the SBS subtitles. Whoever does them, they're really like well thought out. They're very smart. But also, I just love that they're yellow and easy to read. And like, there's a point where you go, ah, that's what subtitles should be. They're not obtrusive, but they are really clear, and they're well-timed and everything. But, yeah, one of the things I really like about it is, so the idea is that, suddenly the world is now filling up with random people from random times, and they've got different mores, they've got different attitudes, but some people really dig those. So there are people who are like, actually, I think that I was born in the wrong time. So like it's like being trans in that I feel like I was born in the wrong body, except I feel like I was born in the wrong time and I really should be a cave person. And I'm comfortable and living with that. But all of the kind of things that we apply to refugees and racism and I guess bigotry in general now can be applied to a different group of people. So, you know, they talk a lot about timeism.
It's like that disgusting term transracial, but these people are a bit transtemporal.
Ooh. Absolutely. In fact, I think they actually use that term at one point.
I mean, I just didn't expect to see all these woke politics in Norwegian television.
And look, the woke politics aren't subtle.
No.
It would hard to be subtle with them working with the particular thematic material. I mean, it just kind of is what it is. Mm. I also like that they never, ever, ever attempt to explain or make sense of the time stuff. Because I feel like the moment they attempt to explain it, it's going to break.
But they do also kind of play with it a little bit here and there and kind of go, okay, what if it's not a one-way street? It's not always things coming from the past to our time. And in certain episodes, there are some questions seated about that. And that's interesting. And that to me was one of those things I was like, oh, okay, right.
So get to the end of season two and we need to have a chat, Quinny.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. I'm all the way through season one and I really enjoyed it and I felt like it was building up to something. And then season two takes a fucking hard left turn. And it's interesting because you can see where they've gone, okay, we now have a budget and we now have a new partner in where this budget is coming from. And all the way through season one, it's all in Norwegian language. Season two, there's suddenly introduced British characters. And a lot more scenes are in English. And the main plot point is suddenly about, well, it's not a secret or anything. The main plot point of season two is all about the potential reoccurrence of Jack the Ripper.
Oh.
So season one has been very Norwegian and talking about, you know, Norwegian myths and heritage and stuff like that. And then suddenly season two, it's like Jack the Ripper, Scotland Yard, all these things. And you're like, oh, shit, okay, right.
Okay.
So you're talking about British colonialism and imperialism has suddenly affected a Norwegian section. Doesn't sound like history at all.
No, definitely not.
That doesn't sound like anything like that.
I would suggest if you've got the time and you've got the energy and you do have, as you say, Pete, that kind of desire to give yourself a bit of slow TV, you know, watch this with nothing else. And, yeah, watch an episode a day. It'll be probably a really enjoyable way to get through it. But, yeah, difficult to binge.
Fair enough. All right. So, Dion. Do you want to rate it or not? It's up to you. Like, it's your thing. It's your go, Quinny. Do you want ratings on this or not? I'm giving it a solid 7 out of 9.
Oh, good.
Because I haven't seen it, so give it an accurate. I'm going to get a 0.3 out of a 13th.
The maths part of my brain just shut down entirely.
Yeah. I don't think that. Yeah, okay.
Okay, well, if that's the case, then do you recommend? Like, or no?
Yes. I would say I like the characters. I like the setting. I think Alta Hildur is a really enjoyable kind of character to spend time with. There's a lot of fun to be had in that series. So I would say, yeah, give it a go. Pete, would you agree?
I would agree. I would agree. There's definitely something there. I found it really entertaining, surprisingly so.
Is it getting season 3?
It's not too much of a commitment. It's, you know, they're compact seasons.
Mm. Yeah. And, you know, there's a lot of dick in the first couple of episodes. Like,
oh, sold.
Yeah.
show me the Jack the Ripper, if you get what I mean. Is there going to be
actually,
a season three?
That's some, the thing. There's some really horrible shit around the Jack the Ripper stuff that I was like, oh, wow, that's...
Okay. But is there going to be a season three? Can you confirm that? Is that happening or is it just two seasons?
Is it getting a season three?
Well, I mean, there was definitely a cliffhanger at the end of season two.
I don't know.
But
okay,
who
fine.
Knows these days? But yeah, actually, there is some pretty gruesome stuff around the Jack the Ripper thing. Season two did feel more like the kind of police procedural that I don't like to watch because it's just kind of, you know, horrendous things happening to women and police trying to figure out why. But I was kind of attached to the characters by that time and the premise is still interesting.
Mm. Yeah. Saying early 2023 for season three, but it looks like it is a go. So
there you go. Jill, do you recommend with your two episode binge, Jill? Are you like, yeah, get on it? Or like,
I might go back to it. Right. Maybe. I don't know. I really like Alpha Hilde. So yeah.
She's a good character.
Yeah.
All right.
There's a fascinating thing about Norwegian language and a lot of the Scandinavian languages about their last names. Sorry, I'm a weird LGBT bent to today.
No. But if, I was listening if to a today, podcast. If not today, when?
I was listening to a podcast about Norwegian and Finnish language and so forth. And because almost all of their last names are references to their parents.
Mm-hmm.
So you are Alta Hilda, Sigurd's daughter. You are somebody's daughter or somebody's son. So they have a massive problem with trans names. And so the whole language is having to try and adapt to suddenly people being non-binary or being trans or being whatever and just going, shit, this is really hard. Mm. So, yeah, it's an interesting, fascinating podcast. Anyway, Dion.
Yes.
Can you tell me about something dumb?
Oh,
yeah,
my
did you fly
God.
Into the danger zone yesterday?
Yeah.
What do we have here?
Yeah, here I thought we were special.
Fellas, this here's Bagman.
Hangman.
Whatever.
What the hell kind of mission is this?
Everyone here is the best there is. Who the hell are they gonna get to teach us?
Captain Pete Maverick Mitchell. Let me be perfectly blunt. You are not my first choice. You were here at the request of Admiral Kazansky, AKA Iceman. He seems to think that you have something left to offer the Navy. What that is, I can't imagine.
With all due respect, sir, I'm not a teacher.
Just want to manage the expectations.
What the hell?
Good morning, aviators. This is your captain speaking.
And we're off.
Here we go. In 3, 2, 1.
We're going into combat on a level no living pilot's ever seen.
Not even him.
You think up there you're dead? Believe me.
My dad believed in you. I'm not going to make the same mistake.
Yeah, okay, all right. Let's get down to brass tacks. Top Gun Maverick. Me being about the only person on the crew who was like, fuck yeah, I want to go see Top Gun.
As a matter of interest, Jill, Peter, are you excited for watching this film?
I have never seen the original.
What the fuck, Jill? Come on.
Yeah, I could tell you my dad's probably the one person in the whole world that's watched it the most amount of times.
Oh, oh my goodness.
Anytime it's ever on TV, he's watching it. If he sees it somewhere, he'll record it and watch it. He's always watching Top Gun.
What are his theories on, always on be the homoerotic undercurrent?
Oh my God, if I brought that up.
This is why I can't understand why
his brain might explode.
I can't understand, Jill, why you haven't seen Top Gun, because that is it's literally just a song, a movie about
it is a
about,
song.
about a, two men who are just trying to find the love between them in the Navy. Like, it's really what it is. It's just an undercurrent that goes through the whole thing. It's amazing. Like, it's great because it's just, you know, it's supposed to be like, oh, this is basically a Navy recruitment tool. And I'm like, not sure it's the Navy they're recruiting for here. saying, yep, yeah, come join the Navy, fly some planes, but check out this beach volleyball scene.
Oh, even at Niage. Eh?
Yes, yes, absolutely, even at Niage. But Peter, have you seen Top Gun?
I have seen Top Gun.
Excellent. Was
one
it like
time, a long time ago.
400 years ago? Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yep. Quinny, when was the last time you saw Top Gun?
I did not feel the need to watch it again.
You did not
you feel the need?
The need? The need? Fucking damn. Oh, dear. Quinny, when's the last time you saw Top Gun?
I don't know that I've watched the entire thing through in probably 30 years.
God. Top Gun is one of those amazing films that managed to bridge the gap because it came out, I think, in 1986, which was a couple of years after 1984, the perfect year for movies.
Yeah, all right. Thank you.
So but it was also
and,
one
and
of
for people. And for women.
Yes.
But also was one of the first ones that had a like almost like a vertically integrated marketing strategy. Like it had the Take My Breath Away song. It had the Kenny Loggins song, which were heavily used in the promotion of the film. Like it was all there. It was like Tom Cruise, established name, you know, like this is going to be a huge thing. But also a song is released with it that went before things like, and that hit the charts. And it was one of those first really successful times that all that worked out. And look, Top Gun is not great.
Like, you call it Top Gun?
Top Gun.
Top Gun.
Top Gun is not great. But it is one of those films that you kind of watch and it's like, oh yeah, amazing. And I'm sure hundreds and hundreds of impressionable people joined the Navy because they wanted to be like the Top Gun. You know, even if they did have the enemy MiGs from Communistan was their enemy in that one. And they recycle the same thing in this one. It's kind of amazing. Like, here's the thing. Like, it's been 36 years since Top Gun came out. So what do they want to do? They want to hook back into that nostalgia. So they give it to people. And they gave it to people in the most amazing way possible by opening with the same scenes and the same music. And you're sitting there going, did you just put Top Gun on again? Which is kind of great. Like, you know, it's a really interesting way. And then they give you all of those bits and pieces throughout the movie, which is amazing. And then they do some stuff really badly, which makes you go, this is terrible. But in the end, it kind of balances out. And I have no way to say about this. Is this an amazing film? No, because it falls short of amazing. Is this a terrible film? No, because the fucking cinematography and what they do with the military planes in it is astounding. And yes, any actor worth their salt definitely wanted to be in this film because they got to go in these planes because they shot everyone inside the actual planes, pulling all of the turns, getting all of those shots. And it is amazing. Like it's a kind of a physical.
So when they're doing the really high G turns,
yep.
Can you see Tom Cruise's makeup and plastic surgery sliding down his face?
He does not have the plastic surgery / makeup because they kind of look like they're all Spartans who've come out of that 300 training course. Because, yes, there is, like, you know, the topless, tanned, you know, I think there is the bravado. There is all of the stupid machismo that goes behind it. I mean, they've upgraded things. Hey, there's black pilots and women pilots now, and they don't give overly sexist jokes, but they're still very much the whole, I have to be better than you. It's just not in that kind of way where it's diminishing the others for any particular reason. It's just most of the stuff is very disappointing. Like, they don't do a volleyball scene. They do like a beach football scene, and it's worse because volleyball's more accessible to most of the world, whereas American football on the beach is just for Americans and it doesn't have the same sort of heart.
Are there any pats on the butt or anything like that?
Lots of chest bumps and stuff like that, and Tom Cruise is in there with his shirt off for a while, but then surprisingly he puts his shirt on and sits down, which is kind of like, yeah, you need to do that because you're 36 years later and you can't really run around with all of these 25-year-olds.
I 100% reckon that he has a deal with movie studios that they have to CG him to look younger, because no fucking way does a 64, what is he's 60 something year old man look like that.
It is unbelievable to watch in the just the sense, like, it's a visceral experience when they're doing the fighter pilot stuff. I mean, I highly recommend see it in a cinema because you will get that whole thing. But it's wrapped up in a story that is just, it's not quite there. And I think the biggest problem I have with it is there's absolutely no reason for the entire movie. And I know, like in the first one, it's like, what's Maverick? Maverick wants to be the best pilot. That's the whole thing, is for him to be the best pilot. And it, like this, the movie Top Gun Maverick opens with him becoming the fastest man alive, like literally test pilot thing. And you're kind of like, okay, cool. So he's just got the pinnacle of his career. Then it goes on for the rest of the movie. And you're like, why?
The thing is though, like men his age aren't legally allowed to fly fighter jets because of health reasons.
Oh, really? Yeah, yeah. No. Like it just
doesn't even make sense that he's out there.
There's some ways around that they kind of explain the thing. I just really...
Oh, okay. Yeah. They movie-splained it away.
Yeah, yeah. Well, kind of movie-splained it away in these sorts of things like Death Wish. I mean, as I said, I've watched it, you know, I find it criminally underrated that Jennifer Connelly is in this film, but she's gorgeous in what she does. She's just a Ralph Lauren.
You have my attention.
She's just a Ralph Lauren model, and everything is just like off one of those catalogs. Like, you know, there's a scene where she's standing on a sailboat, captaining a sailboat in a perfect outfit, and you're like, sure. And then there's another scene where she's driving a Porsche, and it's like, sure. Like every time you see her on screen, she doesn't do anything. Like she doesn't, the plot doesn't revolve around her or do anything, but she looks great doing it. Yeah, all of those kinds of things are really interesting, but when it gets down to brass tacks about the actual story, it's terrible. Is the whole thing a CIA psyops against communist China and Russia? Yes, absolutely, 100%. This is just to motivate kids to join the Navy to blow China shit up. Like, sorry, you can't say any more than that. Like, it's, yeah, this is just, it got all the access to stuff because the CIA is like, yeah, we should make this movie, because that will get more people to join the Navy. But that's what the first one was. So, you know what you're expecting.
I have, like, it's funny because when we got the offer, it's like, does anyone want to go and watch, what was the phrase? The military-industrial complex propaganda film. And this is Trav, who we've had here before. That was he's like, does anyone want to go and watch that? And I knew exactly what film he was talking about.
Yeah, yeah. Let's go see the military-industrial complex go through. Wow, shares in Boeing just went up. Raytheon just got higher.
And you know what? No, I had no interest at all in seeing it because I don't like, it's one of those things that I like, yes, the original was a film that had a bunch of fast jets and a bunch of, you know, masculine stuff. Sorry, I was looking at the cast list and I love the fact that, you know, the actors all have names, but their characters are like Merlin, Ice, Viper, Cougar, Slider, Jester, Wolfman, Goose, and Charlie.
But they missed the best one.
Just like, holy shit, is this the fucking Gladiators or something?
No, they missed the best one on that. Like, I can't believe they had it, because they go, "What's your, like, you? Who are you?" "I'm Bob." And they're like, "Oh yeah, okay, so that's great. Like, it's great. What's your call sign?" And he's like, "Bob." There's one guy in there, and his call sign is Bob. Like, it's kind of funny. Like, you know, there's some good humor in it. I mean, it's where at one point I could understand that Tom Cruise was not acting, as I thought he was about to break the fifth wall, not in the fourth wall, but the fifth wall, and just announce his retirement.
Pretty sure only Doctor Who can do that.
Yeah, but announce his retirement for acting forever, because there is this whole scene with him and Val Kilmer that is pretty much like, at one point I'm like, I'm pretty sure Tom Cruise is just going to say that he's quitting acting and walking off set, and that's the end of Top Gun Maverick.
Sorry, did you just say Val Kilmer?
Yeah, did they film it before he lost his voice?
No.
Oh.
But it's a very tender and nice system. Like, I mean, no one... Okay, no, let me not say that. The two lead characters, Maverick and Iceman from the first film, are not diminished by this film at all. Everyone else who may have been in those films is absolutely shelved. And that includes all of the women. Like, absolutely no reason to it. And yeah, a whole bunch. So that's
so, really. So no Kelly McGillis, no, yep. No Meg Ryan.
Nope. Nope. Ah. Just okay. In Peter's like wonderful thing, she'll be watching it going, oh good. So again, thanks. Women gone, no reason. Yeah, I know. But
I mean, it's better than being recast with women who are actually 20 years younger.
Sure.
And you end up with a, you know, what was
funniest
it?
Funniest fucking sex scene. We're watching
Bill and Ted where
oh.
You had Keanu Reeves and his wife, except that the actress was 20 years younger than him. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
What's happening?
Actually, it's like it's almost worth watching the Top Gun Maverick just to watch the sex scene between Jennifer Connelly and Tom Cruise, because it just does not go how you expect. I know. It just sounds weird, right? But it's like, oh no, that's just like, you know, remember Take My Breath Away? Remember that song from like the 80s?
Yeah.
And there was that whole thing. Oh man, this is just like, wow, this is kind of like PG porn. Yeah. And then towards the end, it absolutely jumps a shark, but I won't spoil that for anyone because.
Underground Fight Club?
Yeah.
On the level of Underground Fight Club, where I think even, who's the guy that plays Goose's son, who was Mr. Fantastic?
Miles Teller.
Even then, I think the character on screen just goes, no. And the whole audience is like, no. And then it's just Tom Cruise kind of forcefully running towards something, and you're like, oh, it's you just have to follow Tom Cruise. He's going to do this.
Rob seems slightly confused by the phrase Underground Fight Club.
Oh.
Sorry, Rob, I don't know whether you've not been around for the episodes where we've discussed it, but I have a belief, and I don't know whether it's a widely held belief. Underground Flight Club. Sorry, I get it. Right.
Yeah.
Sorry. I you understand the thing? Got it. Okay. My apologies. I'm not going to mansplain you.
Just making theory. A better pun than you guys were coming up with. That's all.
Yes. And my eyesight is just shit and I couldn't read the L.
In summary, I would say, should you go and watch Top Gun Maverick? I kind of like say, yeah, go watch it in the cinema. Like, it is delicious melodrama pizza. Like, It's exactly what you sort of, it slides down easy and you sort of sit there going, oh, this is so trashy, but that's what it is. It's a soap opera designed to make American exceptionalism seem normal. But it has some fucking wicked cinematography and stunts, and like ballet dancing jet planes is very hard to film and make you go, really, they can do that? And then you're like, oh yeah, they can do that because they did do that. You know,
okay.
Sounds weird, but yeah, go see it for the fighter action stuff and then laugh at all of the rest, including that sex scene I mentioned.
Sorry, and now Karina is asking the question. I missed the Underground Fight Club joke. So very, very quickly.
There's been explaining it for anyone who was curious.
There's been a number of TV and movies where they have an episode or a scene in an Underground Fight Club, and that is the moment that they have jumped the shark.
Yeah, so my theory goes... As such, your TV show has a premise, and the basic premise that was written into the show Bible, it may be, you know, X-Men go on adventures and do stuff, or Battlestar Galactica tries to run away from Cylons. The moment that you do your Underground Fight Club episode is the moment that that basic premise of your show has run out of steam. That's when you are no longer actually exploring the original concept and you're now just doing TV tropes because you have to. Yeah. So, yeah, it is the shark jumping moment. So, yes. So, Dion, I'm glad to hear that they have an Underground Flight Club. well done, Rob. I'll give you that one.
Although, one last thing I need to say about Top Gun Maverick. Completely did not expect the very interesting Star Wars premise that came through that. And I'm talking about the George Lucas 1977 Star Wars A New Hope, because, yeah, it's...
I'm listening.
The mission that they have to go on to fly is literally the fucking Death Star trench run.
What?
I know. This is where I'm just kind of like... Yeah, there's no... See, Peter, in this, you'd be... But why? And everyone else in the cinema was like, but why? They just recreate the Death Star trench run. And it's like, cool. Thanks, CIA. Anyway.
I'm sorry, is there a Death Star? How do you do the trench run?
The Death Star in these movies is just the nebulous phrase terrorism, and then they and then they do exactly what they do in every sort of Top Gun movie. They whack a red star on a fighter plane and say, opponent, the end, bogey.
Right.
And then they refer to them as not humans.
Yeah, oh.
They never referred to, like, you never see the opposing forces.
No human life attached.
Yeah, you never see the opposing forces faces, politics, color of their skin. You never, like, there's even one point, you know, where they're at a, they have to go into a base that is being attacked. It's an opponent's base, like it's a foreign military power's base. And funnily enough, you never see anyone. Like, it's literally so a military base.
Any particular skin color, you never see any particular uniform.
This is what I say. It's a CIA, like, fucking Top Gun Maverick is a CIA psyop against both Russia and China at the same time by allowing you to imprint whatever evil terrorist organization you wish onto it. Meanwhile,
good.
USA number one.
So we should watch it if we like watching jets go swoosh, swoosh, swoosh.
I just think you would do a disservice of it if you didn't see it in the cinema, because the fighter plane stuff is just great to see on the big screen with the sound. The rest of it, if you could tune out, like, and just watch that on your phone, fine. Nolan would intend for you to watch the rest of Top Gun Maverick on your phone that way. But the plane bits, big screen.
I just want to shout out to Ghost Floof in the chat, who had got very lost in our underground fight club being a shark jumping moment. He's like, how did the shark get in the club? Can the shark breathe?
It dropped off Batman. So the Batcopter had Batman on it, and then Batman kicked off the shark and it fell into the fight club. And then
I want to see the underground shark fighting club.
With freaking laser beams attached to their forehead.
Sorry, speaking of which, how did you go with the Pentaveret, Dion?
No, fuck off. I've talked enough, and I don't want to talk about the Pentaveret. It's fucked. I want to talk about something good, which is Jill.
Yay!
Yes. Oh, my God. And you know what? The show that I want to talk about is something that is much beloved to our Casper, and he's not even in the chat tonight.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Casper, where are you, buddy? Not good enough.
Do you want
where
to see
are the... you when we want you, dude?
Do you want to see the trailer, Jill?
Yes, let's show the trailer.
Show me the trailer, because I need to know whether I should be watching this or not.
Police, don't move!
Jack Reacher, known as deceased, retired army.
Bronze star, silver star, and a purple heart.
What in God's name is a guy like that doing in Margrave?
What's a guy like that doing in jail? Zip ties?
Cuffs didn't fit him.
You guys recycle.
7 bodies since you set foot in my town.
I was arrested for murder. Now you want my help?
I want you to do what I say.
You just go wherever you want, whenever you want.
Everyone's always jealous. I'm gonna uncover this whole operation and burn it to the ground.
You boys knew what's about to happen to you. You'd leave now.
Now don't go getting yourself arrested for murder.
Shooter was someone who knows firearms well.
Lightning.
Bullets were 95 grain, that's subsonic. This wasn't a first timer.
These people are connected and stone cold killers.
So be smart, don't break the law, and promise me you won't end up in another holding cell.
No.
Yeah, you got!
Looking for payback?
Payback, justice, vengeance.
Yeah, you got!
Looking for the whole gang.
You're gonna kill a whole lot of people, aren't you?
Already started.
You're about to get your ass kicked.
No, I'm just gonna break the hands of 3 drunk kids.
There's 4 of us.
One of you's gotta drive to the hospital.
It's not a twist off. Show off.
Oh, there's some alpha bullshit right there. It's like,
sorry, do you need a moment, Bill? Cast away the vapors.
Yes, this prime slab of beefcake is Alan Ritchson. And as everybody in the chat has been going off, yes, he was Aquaman in Smallville. He was Hawk in Titans. And now he's Jack Reacher. And shitting all over Tom Cruise's version, let me tell you.
Yeah, Tom Cruise can stay as the stunted pilot in the chair while let Reacher come out and do this in the TV show, which is much better than the two movies.
Well, there were two movies?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, shit. I thought that there was only like one fucking Jack Reacher round movie. What?
No, unfortunately, there were two Tom Cruise Jack Reacher movies. So the most hilarious part about those Reacher films is that Lee Charles didn't even want Tom Cruise cast as Jack Reacher because he has a very, like, I mean, he created the character. It's a very specific idea in his mind of what this guy is, and he's a 6 foot something tall, like huge stacked ex-military dude.
He looks like Quinny.
With an extra foot of height.
6 foot tall, Jack.
And then some.
Just a stacked man, an intimidating presence that puts other men at ill ease when he walks into a room.
Yes, and that is not Tom Cruise.
No, not Quinny either. Let's, you know.
Yes, so, it is.
Okay, thank you. But no.
It's your birthday. You get one. There you go. Okay.
Thanks, buddy. You got my back.
I found out about this show from a trailer on Amazon Prime, and I absolutely flipped my lid because my mum loves the Jack Reacher books. She has all of them. And she was so devastated when they made these terrible Tom Cruise movies. She's like, that's not my Reacher. So I'm like, oh my God, they've cast that dude from Titans. He's huge. She's going to love this.
Yep.
And she did. And I loved this show.
Like, she didn't love it?
No, she did. She did.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah.
We both loved this show.
I was very concerned.
So Jack Reacher is army brat, grows up, goes into the military, he and his brother. They both sort of go on like separate military careers, and then they don't see each other for many, many years. And then Jack is done with the military and he's just going on a journey across America just to, you know, see it. He's
a hobo.
No home.
He's
a vagrant. He has no home. He has no car. He has no job. He's just living off his army pension and just he's got nothing but a wallet and that's it.
This is the one thing that I can't believe with the whole Jack Reacher thing. Is that he has nothing. Like he doesn't own anything, just has the cash that he withdraws from a Western Union every now and again and shops in op shops and kind of lives that kind of hobo life, except how can you maintain that physique without at least a gym membership? That's how you contract Jack Reacher.
Is bench pressing cars.
Yeah.
Body weight, man. Body weight reps.
Doing a lot of calisthenics.
Maybe if he wasn't if he was solving crime like an hour a day and then for the other 11 hours of waking life, he was just working out, like lifting
eating
car bodies.
Chickens.
Gargling them.
Steamed chicken. So the series takes place in the story of the first book, and it nails the first book like quite perfectly, to be honest. It's a great little self-contained story within the first season. Each book itself is actually like a standalone story, so nothing really follows on except for Reacher himself. They're quite easy to get on board with if anybody's interested in the books. They're actually quite good. They got his characterization really well nailed in the TV show, and I really enjoyed it. As a police procedural, Peter, I think you would enjoy this because it's a little bit different. It's more like a whodunit kind of thing rather than just a straight up police solving murders kind of stuff. Because it is a very serendipitous way that he comes into this town and finds a crime and gets accused of the crime. And then when he finds out what's actually going on, it's all very interesting. Lee Child's a really great writer. I enjoyed the book. And
I think the only thing the TV series was missing is Werner Herzog.
What?
Why?
Because Werner Herzog is the main villain in the movies with Tom Cruise.
Oh, fuck.
Well, one of the movies. The first one, I think.
If you look into the Tom, the Tom also looks into you.
But you know that Werner will definitely do television, because once he finishes on the set of The Mandalorian, he can go to Jack Reacher.
Missy, I'm talking about the book and the show because they are pretty much the same thing. The first series is based off the first book and it's page for page pretty much the same story.
I'm surprised I like this more than like I thought I would, because having watched the movies, I knew what was going on. And like when this one came around, I was like, it's kind of fleshed out a little bit more. And there's some slow points in it where they've just drawn it out a bit to make it fill the season order or whatever it is. But he does a really good job as Jack Reacher. And I believe that he's down to beat the piss out of people for no reason.
Missy's just asked what was the series with John Krasinski, and that was Jack Ryan, which is the...
That's a very different show.
Who wrote that one? Tom Clancy. Yes, that's a different book and show, yeah.
Because I had the same sort of thing. Like,
Jack Ryan is also a very good series.
Okay.
Yeah. Have not read the Tom Clancy books, but yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the Harrison Ford movies were great.
Look,
but I like the series.
Don't forget that Christopher Pine was also Jack Ryan.
For one movie, yeah.
Yeah, I know, right? Okay, so it's Harrison Ford, John Krasinski, and Christopher Pine have all played the same character.
Wait, no, didn't. No, was there a Val Kilmer? Was it somebody else? Was it Jack Ryan?
Ben Affleck, wasn't he?
Ben Affleck was a Jack Ryan, but there was someone before Harrison Ford.
Was there?
There's one more before Harrison Ford.
No, and I'm trying to think. It was somebody quite well known.
That's not Top Secret, is it?
No, it was.
That was Val Kilmer.
It was the movie before Hunt for Red October.
Alec Baldwin. Hunt for Red October. Jack Ryan was Alec Baldwin. Ben Affleck was some of all fears. Harrison Ford, Clear and Present Danger. Yeah. And then so there you go. So many. He's like Batman, only without the bat.
And apparently played by Richard Vyden, who was also a Jack Ryan in One Incantation. There we go, on television.
Yes,
Jack Ryan's been around for fucking decades. No, he's like James Bond and what's the other one? Ben Affleck? No, not Ben Affleck. The other guy,
Matt Damon.
There we go.
You mean a Bond identity?
Yes.
There's only been one Bourne.
No, there's been more than one Bourne.
He wasn't Jason Bourne.
Oh.
Jeremy Renner was a different part of the thing. He wasn't Bourne.
I'm getting confused now. This is all just CIA propaganda to join the military.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. The military will give you things
weren't
like
there Bourne films in the 70s, but no.
Being
no,
able to play a hobo, like, you know. That's what Jack Reacher can teach us.
Did any of you guys watch Without Remorse, the Tom Clancy film with Michael B. Jordan?
Oh, I do remember seeing a trailer for it, but I didn't watch it.
I think I watched it during lockdown, but that's a blur.
That really felt like a Rainbow Siege 6 kind of introductory film. Like, they may be turning those video games into movies now. I don't know.
Probably. Like, why wouldn't you put it across them? I remember watching the John Krasinski Jack Ryan television show, and I've seen this film. It had Harrison Ford in it. It's exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
Why are you just rehashing
this? It's good.
Okay. Well, okay. Peter, did you see Jack Reacher?
No,
are you enthused to see Jack Reacher now?
I'll check it out because Jill told me to.
There is a quite, like, I have to admit, though, there was that really lovely part of it because his physical presence is always supposed to be the very intimidating, and it's a whole character in itself. Like, Jack Reacher is a character style, but
he's a Hulk.
Yeah, been written to be half of his character is literally his physical presence. And there was a couple of times that I actually really believed it because he is a fucking huge dude. One in that prison fight. Or he fights in the bathroom, which is kind of like the Punisher
it's
one.
It's just so fucking cool.
Yeah, it's very kind of like no holds about, that's kind of how a prison fight would go. And the other one, which was the weird the inevitable sex scene between Jack Reacher and insert female character one here, or maybe the other way around. But he's gigantic, and she looks like just tiny compared to in the shower. It's just like
there's a bit of a kink thing going on there.
Yeah,
but that sex scene had no chemistry whatsoever. I was like, let's get it on, and I'm like,
come on. Yeah. Also, knowing that there's just a film crew of 23 people standing around going, okay, and you're like, cool, shoot that again, like, take two. Oh, great. Oh, sexy. This is amazing. Oh, no.
No, it wasn't actually.
So not a sexy sex scene?
It wasn't a sexy sex scene. I mean, I think they wanted it to be, but it just felt a bit,
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Yeah. See, I'm excited for it. Like, I'm keen to check it out. Though I will say that the trailer that I've now seen a couple of times did kind of make me feel there's a rock movie called, I think it's Walking Tall, where he just basically walks into the town, gets a 2x4 and starts beating the shit out of people.
That's kind of what it is.
And that's kind of what I thought. And I'm like, is that enough to hold me through an entire series?
Reacher has a modicum of stoicism about him. He doesn't want to start fights because he knows he can end them.
Right.
So he's very much, you know, Hulk with a heart of gold, I guess.
But also he's a crime-solving Hulk. Like, let's not forget this. He's also, like, basically world's greatest military MP detective Hulk.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like...
But he's Batman.
Without money.
He's got so much shit going on.
He's Hobo Batman.
Yeah, he is. He's Hobo Batman.
Hobo with a shotgun or just...
No, not even shotgun. Oh, well, I mean, that's kind of the fun thing about it is he always walks into fights with pretty much nothing because he's like, so
he's got two shotguns. Ka-ching, ka-ching.
I like that about the Reacher that they portray is like the Reacher never takes anything into a fight because he's just kind of like, everyone's brought weapons. Like you'll have plenty of weapons.
Body is the weapon.
I'll just take them off you and then kill everyone else with them. And it's kind of like, that's really badass. And then he does, and you're like, oh, okay, he's even more badass.
Yeah. So they've signed him on for another series and a 3-movie deal, I think, with Amazon. So that's exciting.
So Amazon movies.
Yes, so there'll be originals, Amazon originals.
Right. He's also been announced as being in the new Fast and Furious movie, Fast 10.
As of today.
I thought there already was a 10. Okay.
I think the last one is yet to come out. It was being made now. So he's
now losing count. Should you still be making
them? Yeah.
No, clearly not.
And so far past a trilogy now, like, what do you even call it?
A mistake. That's what you call it. The Fast mistake. And yes, as in fasten your seatbelt.
Oh, that better be the subtitle. For that
it's movie. Not, and I'm angry at
them. Damn it.
So fucking disappointed. But one thing that he is in that almost nobody knows that he's in, he's Raphael in the two Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movies, the Michael Bay ones.
Who?
He was the dude in the Raphael mocap suit. And
Michael
everything.
Bay never made any Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movies.
You make a good point, Dion. Well put.
Like there is no Indiana Jones 4. Yes. And there's no Michael Bay Transformers or Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movies. Okay, not that I ever recall in my selective memory.
Good point. Good point. Well made. He had a shit time making them anyway. So there you go. Not that they were ever made.
Really?
Yes. Pete, do you have anything that I should watch? Tell me something I should watch. And I know I'm putting you on the spot here because you're like, I'm tired.
I'm just trying to think of something that I haven't already told you to watch and
then ignored and not watched.
Pretty much. I know that a little while ago I told you to watch a show called Blindspotting on Stan, which is a really interesting and different style. I think that one is worth a look. I've already tried with you guys Euphoria. Like we know where we all stand with that one.
I will find it and I was going to say download. No, I will find it and watch it.
There's a comedy on Stan at the moment called Killing It, which is moderately amusing.
It was quite funny.
It's got an Australian actress in it who I really, really like. She's been in a few of these American comedies, and I can't remember her name, but I might try
she
to pull it
Sarah's
up.
She did Sarah's Channel, which you can find on YouTube. Oh, no, iView, ABC iView. Have you seen Sarah's Channel?
No.
Oh, Jesus.
I do recall
that's,
it
no,
now.
That's good.
Like, she's also in Our Flag Means Death as well.
Oh, spoiler.
So that's another thing. I've watched two episodes of Our Flag Means Death. Should I be finishing that series?
Yes, because it gets astoundingly better after the first episode.
Right.
It's true. Yeah. I did watch the first
episode.
I
stopped halfway and then just heard everyone raving about it. I'm like, oh, fuck, all right, I'll go back. And then I was like, you fucking idiot, you almost missed out on this.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I like this. As I said, I'm adding it to the list, or as Amy puts it, I'll add it to the list, aka where recommendations go to die.
Oh, no, we'll get around to them eventually.
Parks.
Yeah, I'm just writing these things down.
Yeah. Yeah. When are you watching Parks and Rec, Quinny?
At the time, is that the end of the show? Thanks so much for coming.
Yeah,
have you seen Breaking Bad on The Wire yet, Quinny?
Wait, Quinny hasn't seen Breaking Bad?
No.
Well, this must be a really long list.
I am a little bit too late now, isn't it?
Kind of.
I feel like once you kind of get to the point where you've seen all of the memes and tropes, then there's no point watching the original.
Not really, because I mean, I knew that there was something very deeply weird about, you know, hitting Breaking Bad when Zootopia referenced characters from Breaking Bad. I was like,
yes.
You fucking kidding me? There are two sheep who are cooking blue drugs.
Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. I don't know. Look, Breaking Bad, I watched three episodes of it. I'm like, oh, yeah, this seems pretty good. And then just never went back to it. So I feel bad about it.
It's kind of its time, I guess. If it's like Game of Thrones. Like, if you weren't on board when you watched it, there's no point going to watch it now.
Okay. So Oz1989 saying Hannibal. I watched quite a lot of Hannibal, and then I hit a point where there was an episode that was really weird, like it was the wrong length. And I don't know, it was during a writer's strike or something like that. There was this bit in the middle of a season where some episodes went very weird and it just booted me from the show.
Oh, okay.
Like, I don't know whether it was like, I suddenly felt like I'd missed a key three scenes or something. I don't know. And it was like, what the fuck happened there?
Did you ever finish Legion, Quinny?
I've gone back to Legion recently, based on, funnily enough, based on watching the end of Moon Knight.
Huh.
I kind of thought maybe I should go back and finish Legion off. Legion's still fucking weird.
Oh, yeah.
And there's also Doom Patrol season, what are they up to now, three?
Three.
Oh, shit, fuck me.
Oh, yeah, see? All this shit, Quinny.
None of these things get less weird. As they go through.
So we won't be seeing Quinny for a good couple of months while he catches up on all of the TV that he's missed.
Yeah. He's still got to watch all of Station 11 and finish
watching Severance.
I started
Station 11.
Ah, good.
Because that's coming up sometime soon. Good.
Yeah, next week, dude.
Next week.
Oh, fuck. Then
next week, fuck's sake.
Chastanger said, did we ever watch The New Mutants? Yes, we did. And did we ever review it?
The review was, don't watch it. The review was, it's bad.
Yeah.
Just do a supercut of the Anya Taylor-Joy scenes as Magic, because
yeah,
she was great.
Yeah, that's pretty much all you need from that one.
Mm-hmm.
There was something else I was going to suggest watching, and no, it's gone. I'll come back. Yes, actually, there is one thing that I am enjoying very much on TV at the moment, and probably the thing that has been stopping me from watching everything else, Strange New Worlds. The new Star Trek series.
Oh my god, with Daddy Anson Mount. Yes, I need to get onto that.
Yeah.
Actually,
series or Anson?
Both.
Well, when his last name's an adjective.
or is
it's
a version?
Suggestion.
It's a doing word.
A verb?
Sorry. Yes. Did you also quick question for Quinny, and I'm sorry bypassing everyone else. Quinny, have you been watching Halo the TV series, and are you up to date with it? Because
I did.
If you ever wondered about just how badly wrong they could get a game adaptation to television show, it's going in that direction, isn't it? It's just kind of like, oh, we could almost, it's like we skewed off and they're like, oh no, they're pulling it back. And then instead of like, they've overcorrected, now they've just gone. It's so weird.
It's,
I don't need to see Master Chief bone.
Yeah. That was one particular sequence that I was like, I don't think I really needed this.
It's just but weird. Anyway,
there you go. Like, I'm looking forward to seeing what the series finale does on that one, because I really would like them to actually do something that feels like Halo. That'd be an exciting concept.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. Anyway.
Yeah. But sorry, just to go back ever so briefly, Strange New World is the best Star Trek series that has been in quite a long time.
Yes.
Cool. Because Discovery is not great.
I was trying to be a Discovery apologist.
Oh.
I was trying real fucking hard.
I just fucking hate Michael so much.
Yes.
Worst character ever.
Like, there's only been 4 seasons of it, and it feels like so many more. Like, I was trying to work it out with my, like, was it you, Dion? That I was like, okay, so there's the first season where there's Captain Jason Isaacs.
Hello to Jason Isaacs.
Yeah, hello to Jason
Isaacs. Captain Lucius Malfoy.
Yes, exactly. Hello, Potter. Then season 2, where it's Pike as the main captain. And then season 3 is in the future. And then season 4 is the slightly truncated, boring as fuck one.
It was just like Michelle Yeoh trying to like do her thing, but being like, you know, thwarted at every turn.
And if anyone else tells me to go and watch Everything Everywhere All at Once again, it's there. It's on the list. I'll get around to it.
We know.
And I'm sorry. That is one that I have been right waving the flag for. Everything Everywhere All at Once is a spectacular piece of filmmaking. It is indescribable because it is not like any film I've seen in a long, long time. And okay, I want everybody to go and see it in a
better
in
than Lollipop Chainsaw.
Yes.
There's one for the past for you.
A lot better than Lollipop Chainsaw.
Fuck. Sorry, yeah, I saw Chess Chainsaw just in there. It's like, I saw The Northman, I have opinions. But then again, I feel like that's the wrong opinion, because The Northman is just an opinion on what masculinity is. It's
okay.
So bad. Like, well, I mean, it's beautiful, but it is terrible. Have you ever met anyone who went away on a men's retreat, and then they made a film about it? Yeah.
Is there a drum circle?
Yeah. There's Howling at the Moon. There's drum circles. There's butt tons of toxic masculinity. And all of it's presented like, but it's an auteur. And I'm like, no, this guy just needs therapy. Anyway.
Good to have my instinct about not watching that one confirmed. Thank you.
Yeah.
Free some time for other things.
I mean, look, you know, look, there's a place for some sort of stuff. But I mean, I didn't really want to watch an actor and his father act opposite each other in a cave, both of them pretty much naked. It's kind of like, hey, Dad. I'm your sunny boy.
Wow. And Karina loved it. So there you go. As we have found in recent weeks, there is everybody has an opinion, and they are all just as valid as everybody else's opinion. Oh, and we respect them all.
It's like I have daddy issues. It's like, oh, no, this is not what that is. This is totally different. Oh, man.
Look, that's it. I mean, there are so many things. I'm going to have to trawl back through this extraordinarily large and long chat, because you have been very, very vocal tonight.
It's good.
And say thank you for all the recommendations. because, I mean, I don't know when I'm going to get a chance to watch them all, but fuck it, I'll give it a go. But thank you. Thank you so much for being here and being part of it. And to all of the you lovely people that are currently sharing the screen with me. I do want to say a very, very special thank you, because for the past 2 years, we've been in lockdown and it's been a weird fucking time. And ever since we started doing this streaming thing, you have been a wonderful bit of sanity. That thing that I can look forward to, and all of you guys on the chat as well. You guys on the chat over there.
The chat makes it even more better.
Yeah. Being able to do this on the reg is a very, very healthy and wonderful thing. And I appreciate you more than you'll ever know.
And if you want to put a Ko-fi in so we can buy Quinny presents, where should they donate to, Quinny?
No. They can click on the Ko-fi link, or they can go to our website.
Or you did have a charity that you're going to suggest. Put money into this charity.
Yeah. So if we are friends or anything like that on Facebook, then if not, I'll put a link to it in one of our groups or whatever. It is the World, I've got to find the exact title of it, but it's basically the World Kitchen. They're a lovely group of people who specifically, they're chefs who go out into war zones and areas of strife, specifically of late they've been on the borders to the Ukraine, and basically they're feeding people. Like, they just park up in their vans and they cook hot food for people. And, you know, whether you're running away from a war or whether you're, you know, dealing with cyclones or floods or whatever, there is something deeply human about helping people and giving them just some food, some hot food that says you are worthy of being here. So I've got a lot of love for that. And so far people have donated over $500 to them. And I think that's really, really fucking cool. So thank you. If you want to donate more, I will put a link into the show notes.
And I put it in the chat now, a link to their website. You can go and have a look.
Oh, you have?
Yeah.
Lovely.
World Central Kitchen.
That's it. Thank you. Sorry, I couldn't remember. I knew there was another word, but I just couldn't remember what it was.
Yeah. Thank you for that. It's been lovely. What are we doing next week?
Yep.
Station 11. That I have not watched.
Watched it 6 months ago, so I'll have to get my memory on.
Look, Station 11 is a very interesting, a different view of post-apocalyptia. In the same vein, Quinny, the only way I can try and convince you to watch it rapidly is to, it's like Mr. Burns.
Ooh.
So just remove the Simpsons references, but it's kind of like Mr. Burns, the theatrical play. And honestly,
I was getting some really distinct Last of Us vibes. So,
I say no.
And okay, yeah, right.
It's more thoughtful and heartfelt than I believe. Than I expected. And I was like, this is actually a sweeter show about community and in the apocalypse than it is about surviving the apocalypse.
Okay. Oh, that sounds exciting. And
yeah,
I've watched one episode, really enjoyed it. So I'm keen to give a bit more to that. Also, I think we're going to have to move Animates. So it was on the 27th. We have looked at that and gone, hang on, that's the night that we dropped two episodes of Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Happening, people.
We are not going to be doing that, because that would, like, you and me and Will and maybe Amy talking to ourselves with no one there.
Yeah.
Good.
So I think we're going to be putting it back to June the 3rd, so the first Friday in June.
Good luck to everyone on the weekend. Don't forget to vote. Whichever way you wish to go and vote.
Jill's just slow blink of like, kill me.
No. Just can't wait
for it to just be fucking over.
Just get out there and get your democracy sausage, and we'll talk about that. We'll see how it all shakes out on Sunday/maybe next week. Who knows?
And maybe it will be apt that we're doing another post-apocalyptic series.
Or maybe it's the dawn of a new era.
Well, hopefully. Let's look forward to it. And to all of the new people, there are a bunch of new people who have joined us in the chat, including Ghost Floof and just a shit ton of new faces and names in there. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thanks for joining us and come back again next week.
Sure. All right, I'm going to play you out, Quinny. I'm going to play you out for as long as we can get away with it before it gets shut down by Twitch's DCMA. But we'll chuck it on the podcast anyway. I have this special song just for you. Okay, good night, everyone.
Thank you. Good night.
Is this the real life? Is this just fantasy? Caught in a landslide, no escape from reality. Open your eyes, look up to the skies and see. I'm just a poor boy, I need no sympathy. 'Cause I'm easy come, easy go, little high, little low. Any way the wind blows doesn't really matter to me.
Scooter?
Yeah, Chief?
Remind me to stop setting up these video conferences. They're not very productive.
You got it.
Sheesh.
Thanks for listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast. If you have questions, please email info@theperiodictableofawesome.com. Find us on our website, www.theperiodictableofawesome.com, where there's links to our iTunes, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Twitch. Until next time, stay awesome.